Hello and welcome to episode the 236th of of the internet's one and only podcast about comic books. You are listening to the aptly titled, aptly named comics podcast. We are here for the first time in January, 2.5 weeks in, to talk about comics released in the calendar year 2021. I'm your host, Jean-Luc, and I'm joined by the usual characters. Alex is here.
Hello.
Emily's here.
Hello.
Chad also here.
And my axe.
I watched that yesterday. It was a good film. So it's a hot take.
I haven't seen those movies in a while, and I really should reread the books at some point. Maybe I'll do those after I finish Neil Gaiman, because I started The Ocean at the End of the Lane last night, and I'm just like, yay! Neil Gaiman's my favorite.
Did you give up on Warrior Cats, Chad?
Yeah, I think so.
Aww.
Emily, are you still not giving up on Warrior Cats?
No, I have not given up on Warrior Cats. I'm like, I've read 2 Warrior Cats books just in the past 2 weeks. Wow. Which is more than I usually read. But I'm on my 3rd book of the year.
I read a whole chapter and a prologue.
Didn't care for it?
No. Aww. Part of the problem is that I just came off a bunch of D&D books. And I feel like substantially they're not that different. It's like, oh hey, it's either dialogue or they're going to do action that is so kind of over the top and overwritten that you get bored. And when I was a kid, it was great. Like, love that shit. Perfect. Not so much anymore. And so coming off of 3 rather large books of that and going, oh, it's just more of that, but they're cats instead of elves. I need a break. I need to go to something else.
It is very much like, I've never read like any of the D&D books, but I kind of assume that it is not that far off because Warrior Cats is like a fantasy novel, but without magic, and they are cats. But everything else about it is very much the same.
So it's not that I don't appreciate that or can't stomach it. It's just I'm tired. And also, I don't have that connection, right? I think if I had read these as a kid, I would have really, really had a fun time with them and would probably have a big stack of them on my bookshelf today.
I could imagine these having been very influential on younger Chad, for sure. But I think they came out, by the time these books were out, you were probably out of the primary demographic for them.
Which is funny, because I think I read Redwall way, way beyond the primary demographic of that, just because there were so many, and I just would buy a couple every year.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like I had the connection, though, because I was pretty young when I read my first Redwall book, and also they turned me into a screaming furry, and so that checked out, too. And I still go back to those, and it's like I go back to those now for different reasons than when I read them as a kid. Like, less about the action, more about, like, the really great descriptions of food and all the songs, and, like, the downtime when things are just really peaceful and cozy, whereas before I would, like, skip the songs, and if the descriptions of food seemed too long, I would skip that, too, because I wanted to watch the animals stab each other. And so basically I have grown up, and adult me is just still extremely immature and barely functional.
And speaking of things that you're nostalgic for, there are more Animorphs audiobooks coming out, so I will be back on the Animorphs train soon.
I don't have a problem jumping back on those, mostly because those books are dark as fuck, and like they make me think about war, and I don't know, there's something really special about those that, written-wise, probably no different from Warrior Cats, right, as far as...
I feel like Animorphs are, like, on the whole, the writing quality is probably better, but
yeah.
I feel like they probably appeal to similar groups.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'll admit that I skip some of the longer transformation scenes at this point, because it's like, I get it, you do this body horror thing, like, 6 times a book,
oh,
I only need
the
one.
I love how gross it is.
I do too. It's just, God, they feel gratuitous sometimes.
It is gratuitous, but I like that quality in it because, like, I feel like a worse book would try to shy away from the unpleasantness of that or try to make it seem really cool, like, you know, like an anime transformation sequence or something. No, it's gross.
But you can skip anime transformation sequences.
Yeah, I know. We've already had this conversation, Chad.
Yeah. I've been watching Naruto, and we're at the Chunin exams right now, which is, lots of fun. Great show. I'm enjoying it. But, half of the show is just like, hey, remember the last episode? We're going to talk over footage from last episode. And it's like, yeah, I really like this show, but nothing happens for, the first 10 minutes of an episode.
Yep.
Yeah, I have never been able to get into Naruto. There's too many damn episodes.
I wouldn't recommend getting into Naruto.
That's a strange thing to come from you, Chad, but
Having seen enough of it and now being, 15 years older.
everyone loves Sasuke, and it's like he doesn't like anyone, guys. Chill. And the whole fact that like Sakura and like her friend are like, oh, we're best friends, but now we both like Sasuke, so we're gonna stop being friends. It's just weird. So, anyway, I'm loving Naruto. How are
I'm
you doing,
glad to hear
Jean-Luc?
it.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that you're loving Naruto. I didn't think that I would ever hear that from a 24-year-old, but I
Oh,
suppose it is
you
what it
remembered my
is.
age.
I know your age. It's easy to remember. It's
I know
nine
lots
plus
of
one.
24-year-olds that like Naruto.
Yeah, but I don't think many of them would cop to that on a podcast, and if so, they should be ashamed.
It's okay. Jean-Luc's gonna edit this out, as he does with all traces of anime
Yeah.
on our show.
Oh wait, if we're
Yep.
still in anime corner, Chad and I
Oh,
have to talk
fuck.
about it.
No.
Would you
Oh,
rather
man. Go
Chad and I
back to
talk
looking at
about it
Twitter.
now and let you guys have the rest of the episode for our
No,
normal shit?
you can talk about it whenever you want. I don't care. But it's
Chad,
totally fine if you want to talk about it.
Yasuhime. Yeah, okay, remember, I'm still an episode behind, but I know all of the shit that happens in this week's episode because the internet is like, gasp, can you believe they did this? And it's like, yeah,
I've
I
actually
can.
been staying an episode behind because it's easier to keep track of what you have seen than
Well, that's nice of you.
to just stay one behind. Because I don't know anybody else that's watching it, so I don't end up seeing a lot of spoilers, except for the spoiler I did see. So do we have to talk about Rin?
I mean, we could do it next week.
Yeah, I guess
No,
we
no.
could
Did...
do it next week.
Oh, is that in the next episode?
Yeah.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah. Well, don't you see her? Well, you don't watch the post credits, but I think you see her for like
No.
a frame in the post credit scene of what was last week's episode. But yeah.
You see her once more. I think during the tree scene a couple episodes ago, because I
Oh,
was
yeah, you're
immediately like,
right.
"Oh, I bet they're Sesshomaru's kids," and he fucked Rin, and that's problematic. But let's be honest, that's what this show would do because it's doing the Star Wars thing where they're stuck with the main characters in the same area, and no one can just find new people to enjoy. And it's frustrating as a piece of fiction that they're limiting themselves so much when they have the entire feudal world to explore.
Yeah, I'm disappointed but not surprised for both reasons. One, that
Also, the
it's
fire demon this week was dumb.
the fire demon was very dumb, and I didn't like him, one, because he just was like a very typical like abusive husband character, but a demon this time. But also his name is Homura, which is the name of a character I really like from Madoka Magica. And it's uncommon enough of a name that this is the only t other time I've seen it in a show. I'm like, no, stop. I don't. You get a different name. I don't
Also,
like
his
this.
design was weird. I didn't like his eyes.
He's
Like, it's one of
ugly.
those things. Like, he was like cartoonish in that way. Like a shitty one episode Inuyasha villain is gonna be.
Which is what he
And I'm
is.
sick of like that. The lazy writing of the first show is just here in full force. And I wish like it's like if you could do anything, it's maybe not that.
Well,
Like,
that's
there's
what they're
so many
trying to
improvements.
capture is
Well, they're doing a good job.
Yeah. This episode is another villain of the week that won't amount to anything except for like the one connection he has to their like tragic backstory, and
He
that's
literally
it.
gets so mad he kills himself.
Yeah, that was pretty
And it's like
funny.
no one even gets the satisfaction of stabbing him.
Oh yeah, Maroha was so sad at the end because she didn't get to turn him in for a bounty.
Also getting kind of bored of that joke.
Oh, but I love anything Maroha does, so.
She's great, but also literally that joke has been once an episode for the last like six.
Yeah, well, except for the previous episode because she wasn't in it. Yeah.
I don't know why I continue to watch this because it is like aggressively mediocre on a good day.
Oh, because it's fun to watch it with me, Chad.
That is true. And then we can bother Alex and Jean-Luc by talking about anime for 10 minutes.
All right, I think we've exhausted. We'll talk about Rin next week. We've exhausted everything else about Anime Corner this week. Jean-Luc, yeah, how are you doing?
I think that's fair.
How's Twitter?
It's insufferable. I hate it.
Did you see anything of note in the time that you've been gone?
Did I see any I mean, I saw some posts. I saw like 3 or 4 cat pictures, which was good.
Oh, those are good.
And then the rest of it was shit that I don't want to talk about.
Okay. No, I didn't want to talk about it. I just wanted to know if you'd seen it.
Oh, yeah. There were no good posts to report on. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I follow Emily, and I feel like half of her posts are good, and she's the only reason to log into Twitter.
Well, when I was I follow Emily, too, but when I was scrolling through the old TL, there were no posts from her, so
it's the way it be. Spent most of today reading the comics for this episode and then watching Yashahime. So I have not.
How many comics did you read for this episode?
Let me check my list.
I think the real question I'm asking is if you read any of the DC Future State stuff.
No, I thought about it, but then I looked it up and it said that the internet said that it was a sequel to Death Metal or whatever, and I was like, oh well, I don't give a shit about that.
Well, it's not a sequel per se. It does stem out of the events of Death Metal, but the events of Death Metal really have nothing to do with any of the books that came out.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's
more so like Death Metal happened, it messed up the multiverse a bit, and this is like a potential future kind of thing that we're kind of exploring for 2 months.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, Alex, but I think each series is a potential future, right?
Yeah.
Because some of them are,
some of them tie into each other.
Some of them are the same potential futures, but not all of them.
Yeah.
I was going to read Harley Quinn and Wonder Woman, at least, just because,
those two both suck, I'm sorry.
I mean, yeah, but, like, if I was going to read any of them, those were the ones I was probably going to check out.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I didn't.
The Wonder Woman one at least has one very good sequence and some really good art.
It's got fantastic art, but it's, like, Joel Jones' writing is not good.
Joel Jones can't write for shit, I'm sorry. I hate to say it, but, like, Catwoman sucked, and I was like, well, I don't know. I stopped reading Catwoman after the first arc. Maybe she got better at writing.
I read it, and it was like okay, and then I eventually dropped it. But this first Wonder Woman issue is just like, it's the classic foil of, hey, let's narrate this when we don't have to narrate it, when we can just let the action and the quips happen, which would make it so much better and let Joel Jones art like breathe. But instead they're like, I'm Diana. I'm not Diana. I'm Wonder Woman. This is how I'm Wonder Woman. Let me explain it all to you in these text bubbles. And it was, I read 14 Future State books today. That's been my day. Well, it took me like an hour.
To answer the question, I was going to read 5 comics, but I ended up forgetting about Sonic the Hedgehog. And no one else is reading it, so I figured I could leave that out and pick back up on Sonic when issue 37 comes out.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So 4 comics.
That's fair. Cool.
Did you read all the Future State stuff, John? Or like, do you have?
No. I read
standouts,
all of it.
Because
do I have stand? Yes, I have some shocking standouts actually.
Okay.
Or at least there were some pleasant surprises. I actually thought. So if we want to, I mean, I guess these books came out over the course of the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I've been reading them slowly over that time, but to sort of like wrap up the conversation on Wonder Woman, I guess, I just want to say there's one really good sequence where they go down to hell, and they have to like, Alex, you'll know what I'm talking about, but there's the bit where, they have to talk to basically like an airline, they have to go to like basically an airline terminal.
Yeah.
And half of the dialogue is, in English, and the other half of it is in some like demonic language. So you can't actually read it. And I thought that scene was actually played really well. Though I think that's kind of telling, and I said this when I tweeted about it earlier this week, that I think that's kind of telling of the quality of the dialogue writing in this book when like half of it is not understandable, it works. And when all of it is understandable, it is really, really painful to read. So that's Future State Wonder Woman.
I just realized it's the 16-minute mark. We're talking about comics already.
Well, there's a lot of shit we got to get through, baby.
Interesting. Why did you do this to yourself?
Because I thought some of them would be good, and it turns out
why did
out
you
I
think
was...
that? There's no
well, okay.
No well, it turns out it turned. Well, it turns out I was right. Some of them were good.
I don't know if I give a shot on that, but it. So
do you really think all 14 of these were bad? I can think of three off the top of my head.
I had a couple that I enjoyed, but I didn't enjoy the whole issue because they kind of split it up where it was like half
right.
One
okay, okay,
team,
that's
half
that
creative team.
Well, yeah. So that's the other thing about these books that I didn't realize is that half. I would say about half of them. Are basically two issues in one. Some of them are three issues in one. The next Batman is literally 60 pages because it's three full issues packed into one comic, which, for the record, I actually think is a good idea for DC to do that to, if they want to, like, limit their, like, to sort of, like, clean up their lineup so it's not 50 bajillion books. Like, having 20 series, like, you can have like 30 or 40 series running at the same time, but in like 20 floppies that people buy. I think that that is like a better model because it means that books that would otherwise like fall by the wayside and get canceled probably won't have that because they're getting carried by, you know, big names. So I think that that's neat. I don't think it really works for all of them, but I think that it's good. I think that it's a neat formatting, and it's good that they're bringing that kind of like European style magazine format to the U.S. because it is way better than
but,
you know.
But also
reading
to like answer your question of like why would I read Future State? It's like it's kind of neat because what they're doing, like a lot of the creators are ones that haven't written for DC before, and it's kind of like, hey, we got fresh creators. We have these superheroes that are like look different than Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. We got these interesting stories. It's like, oh, like getting new up and coming writers to put their spin on things. And it kind of reminds me of those, like whenever you'd read a, like a Valentine's Day super spectacular or a Halloween one where some of them are like, oh, like this is an interesting story, but a lot of it isn't very good. And it's all kind of packed and it's kind of like, because there's so much to it, it kind of becomes a chore. Also, I read 14 in one day, which is totally on me. So,
well, I mean, which ones would you say were like highlights for you? Because I think that's probably, now that we've talked about Wonder Woman, I think that's as decent a place to start as any.
Yeah, I mean, I liked one of the Batman ones. I think it was the next Batman.
Yeah, me too. I liked this one a lot.
Was the one I liked. And I read the other Batman one, and it was kind of similar things going on, which was kind of confusing. But this one was kind of neat, and it's just like Bruce Wayne is dead, but Bruce Wayne, like, people think Bruce Wayne is dead. He's not dead. He's on the street. He's doing his thing. Had good art, had good dialogue, and it had some, like, stakes. And it's kind of like a surveillance state world where vigilantes are kind of banned and everything. It was kind of neat to do. I mean, it's basically just Future's End, which happened, like, a few years ago and was terrible. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that, so, the next Batman has three stories. And the first two, I think, are fantastic. Like, genuinely. I mean, the writing is whatever. It's not offensively bad, but they're, like, heavily carried by their art. Nick Darrington does the art for the first story in this one, and it is fucking amazing. Like, it's really, really moody. It gives the whole city, like, a noir vibe as well, which I think is really cool. Like, it's a cool way to, like, take, like, the sort of, like, Gotham City surveillance state where it doesn't really feel futuristic. It just feels like a shittier version of, you know, the Gotham City that we're used to. And it really feels like a really good tone piece. Like, the night scenes especially are great. Like, there's a lot of really good, like, purples and dark blues on the coloring end of things. And, like, there's, like, a great scene in a parking garage that's, like, cast by, like, green and yellow lighting. And it just, it, like, every single page is just really amazing to look at. And that goes a really long way for me. Because one thing that I think is actually kind of surprisingly consistent about these is that they break from the DC House style visually. And that's cool. Like, I like getting to see these characters drawn in different ways. And the first story here that Alex was talking about definitely falls into that. The second one is a Katana. Well, it's a Katana Duke Thomas story, but largely focused on Katana. And similarly, the art style is wildly different from that. It's done by Sumit Kumar, but it is similarly fantastic. Like, there's a lot of really heavy line work. And there's this great sequence of katana. Like, it's a double page spread of Katana breaking into, like, a stronghold, and fighting her way through it. And it is honestly reminiscent of, like, some of the, panels and sequences from books like Deadly Class in terms of how it portrays action. I really, really like that stuff. Like, seeing some of those things show up in these comics that usually feel really, like, visually really rote and paint by numbers, and like, oh, there's only like certain types of like page layouts you can use, and everything looks kind of like Jim Lee. But I was, you know, very pleasantly surprised by the visuals in these two. And both of them had like decent enough writing that it felt like there were like actually meaningful stakes. So I was surprised to really like this. The third story in this one is really bad. I don't know where you're at on that one, Alex.
Yeah, I didn't even read the third story. I thought there were only two in it because I was reading it on a certain cursed site, and it was like, oh, I've read two stories of Batman. That's enough. And you know, whatever, we get to the third one.
Yeah, the third one, it falls into a lot of the problems that we talk about a lot with Big Two comics, where it's really overwritten and really dense, and none of the dialogue or monologue is actually necessary or interesting. It just, you know, it just feels superfluous in ways that even especially like after reading the first two stories in this, which are very kind of honestly lean in terms of like actual writing, like everything feels like, oh, it feels like it actually had an editor where it got cut down to only the things that were necessary, and there's no sort of like superfluous dialogue or monologuing or anything like that.
This reminds me, I had a Batman story idea this week, and I texted it to Emily.
I was going to bring this up at some point before we got off the topic of DC Comics. Would you guys like to hear about?
I drink.
Would you guys like to hear about the text that I got from Chad at 2:09 p.m. on Wednesday?
Sure.
Idea for a Batman villain. A monkey missing a paw. He talks. If you thought the paw was bad luck, wait until you get the rest of him. And Batman is like, I don't believe in luck. And the monkey goes, your parents are dead.
Did you respond?
I did not. I read this, I laughed, and then I had something else I needed to do and then forgot to get back to chat. But it's just that message has just sat in my text message inbox for the past couple of days.
He would make a good Batman villain.
I like it.
I'm surprised that hasn't been a thing that I, at least that I'm aware of.
I told my dad that. He's like, I guess you could call it like Full Monkey Jacket. And I laughed my ass off, and I was like, that wasn't even a good joke, but I love it. Like, I would definitely call it that.
That would definitely be the name of the trade.
Absolutely.
Full Monkey Jacket Jack.
Oh. Wow. Anyway. Well, there's another Batman book we can talk about. Batman Dark Detective. This one sucks.
I mean, like, honestly, yeah. Most of these books, I was just like, oh, this is pretty bad. And it was kind of hard because the first story sort of sets the tone, even though they're like three different stories and stuff, so it's hard to like get back into it. But yeah, this Dark Detective took like the next Batman and was like, we're gonna try doing something similar but make it boring.
Well, the thing about the next Batman is that it's like not actually like a Bruce Wayne story, right? But this one is I was really lost. Well, not lost, like it's hard to be lost when the plotting is this surface level, but it just like the crux of it is that like Bruce Wayne, I guess, and probably faked his death, and is now trying, and like it turns out that the whole time, like the reason that Gotham became a police state is because of all the money that Bruce Wayne put into, you know, building a security state. Who could have seen that coming? And now he feels bad about it, I guess. But it just, I don't know. It doesn't feel like there are any like real stakes or like his character. It doesn't feel like a real character arc, and that's part of the problem, I guess, with these sort of like possible futures. It just sort of drops you in, and you don't really get a great sense for like what the world is actually like and what the stakes of the world are.
Well, it's like, and any stakes you do get, it's exposition delivery. Right, it's exactly. Like, here's everything that happened. We're going to monologue about it. Like, and it's like, oh, we get it. It's a police state. Like, cool. Surveillance state, you know.
And then the second story here is Grifter's story. And Grifter is a character from Wildstorm who you probably remember him, who I usually like, but this really sucked also. This one more just because the dialogue is really bad. Or at least I felt like that was the case. It just read like, oh, like this is not how people talk to each other. It's very contrived. It was very contrived to me, but
yeah, I don't know. I guess we could go one by one, but I think, like, do you have any ones that you liked? Let's get those out of the way so we can get Chad and Emily back in. Cause
yeah, for me, I really liked. Yeah, I really liked Justice League.
Oh yeah, that was my standout.
Wow, yeah,
Justice League was actually
that's really how we're good. Starting 2021 off huh, with was, that sentence.
Right, it was pretty good.
It was like it was kind of like a campy, kind of like old timey feeling story though. It was kind
of
fun.
Yeah. It is fun. I mean, the setup is basically that, like, it's not, you know, these aren't, it's like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, like analogs for these characters, like versions of these characters, but not like Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne, Barry Allen, right? And they've sort of like rebuilt the Justice League in a new way where they're, you know, it was weirdly was like kind of Jedi like where like they can't have attachments with each other. They can't talk to each other outside of the Justice League. But of course, you know, they talk to each other outside of the Justice League. And there's some really, really strong character writing, I thought. I mean, honestly, it does kind of have the problem that, you know, a lot of superhero comics run into where it's like, yeah, I really like the character stuff you're doing here, Joshua Williamson. It's really, really good. And then you have to do the superhero thing where it's like, there's a world-ending threat happening, and you sort of tune out for like a couple pages, and then it goes back to the stuff that's good. But the stuff that's good is really good. Like, there are a lot of really good character moments in this issue, a lot of really good bits of dialogue. And it was a really pleasant surprise. I'm worried that it will be less of that, more of the, you know, superhero bullshit going forward. But it was a good start, at least. And then the second one here is the Justice League Dark issue, which I liked that one as well, though not quite as much. It similarly falls into the thing where it's like, oh, there's not enough time for actual world building here. And so, like, the stakes feel fake.
Yeah, I don't know. Just overall, I thought that these were pretty weak on the whole. I mean, there are some good ones, but it's also, like, it's weird because they're doing 2 months of 2 months of one-shots. I mean, 2 months of, you know, stories, one a month. And then they're, like, actually launching ongoing series later. So it's kind of like...
They did that with Rebirth, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Except,
Rebirth did the one-shots, right? And this is, like, I guess, twice as good.
Rebirth did the one. Rebirth, every issue had two number ones, but the Future State books, everything will have two number ones and two number twos, so it'll be extra confusing.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the rest of these. I thought Swamp Thing was okay. Actually, Swamp Thing is written by Ram V, who wrote Blue and Green, which I thought was funny to see him show up here actually a couple times. And I thought it was okay, but again, like, it just has that big problem where it's like, all the writing here is good, I just don't really know how this world works, and like, what the stakes are here, because there's not any room for it. But anyway.
I was really disappointed by Ram V's work in these, coming off of Blue and Gold. Like, I felt that it was like, kind of bad writing. Like
really?
coming off it.
I thought that Swamp Thing was like, I thought like the dialogue and those like bits of monologuing in Swamp Thing were actually pretty strong. I think the problem though, like the problem for me with Swamp Thing was that like the dialogue all seems fine to me. It's just that when like there's that one character who is like who keeps popping back up, and he's like trying to undermine, I guess, Swamp Thing's rule over all of these plant people.
Classic.
And you just like have no idea what the things he's talking about are, like what he's supposed to be referencing. And so it just like the it does it to a certain degree. It doesn't matter like how good the like dialogue is. It's just that the plotting is so made so weird by the structure of the Future State books.
It's not the slam dunk, but there are some good stories in there, and it kind of like doesn't. Not that it doesn't matter, but until we actually get the series and get a taste for what that is, I think it's kind of like, well,
yeah,
know. So it's kind of a weirdo.
Like, a lot of these are, like, prequels, almost. Yeah. Like, it's prequel stories, which is, I don't know why they would do that and not just launch the fucking books. But it is money. What it is, I guess. I mean, yeah, I guess you get two number ones, but
yeah.
I'm not.
People buy those.
Yeah. People do buy number ones, I guess, but I'm not sure that having two number ones in 3 months is necessarily like a compelling way to sell comic books. I don't think that's true as much anymore. I did really quickly want to. I thought that this book was like not very good, but I did want to shout out the Kara Zor-El Superwoman series because I thought that Marguerite Savage's art is fantastic, very painterly.
Reminded me of that Neil Gaiman book with what was her name? Colleen Doran.
Colleen Doran.
Trollbridge. Yeah, yeah. It had real vibes, except Neil Gaiman kind of lets art, you can see it. You couldn't see it in this one. So.
yeah, there's some places you can, but it is definitely one of the more overwritten ones. I thought Teen Titans was okay too, but like there's.
Teen Titans was probably one of my favorites there too, and it wasn't good.
the problem with a lot of these is that there's not anything to really latch onto with them.
Teen Titans is like, oh my god, most of the team is dead or in trouble. Like Beast Boy and Cyborg are inside one person now, which I thought was kind of funny. Given like I'm a fan of Teen Titans Go, and I'm like, oh, that'd be funny if this wasn't such a serious book. But they flash back to times when like before like this cataclysmic event, and it's like fun and it's written well, and then they spend like I don't know 3 pages there. And they're like, but now things suck. And it's like, oh, okay. But
Do suck.
Emily and Chad, of those books, and you guys each get one vote, which one has a 9.1 rating on Comic Book Roundup?
Oh, boy. Can you give me, like, the rundown on all, like, on the titles real quick? Like,
Okay. Just the names.
Just the names.
Okay. Harley Quinn, Superman and Metropolis, Swamp Thing, Flash, Next Batman, Wonder Woman, Dark Detective, Green Lantern, Justice League, Kara Zor-El Superwoman, Kara Zor-El Superwoman, there's two? What the fuck? Anyway, Robin Eternal, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Teen Titan.
I'm going to say the Batman Detective one.
All right.
Chad?
It's going to be one that doesn't have a lady character in it because comic book fans are largely neckbeard nerds and... Or, have some level of misogyny to them, the ones that will buy all of these and actually enjoy them.
Not us, though.
Well, we didn't buy all of them and we don't enjoy them.
True.
I wonder why no one listens to our comics podcast.
Yeah, people come here and they're like, man, I love the newest issue of Future State Wonder Woman. I can't wait to hear people talk about it. And we're just like, it's shit. But hey, dude, it is.
Okay, well, that is the one that... Are you going to reveal it?
So Future State Wonder Woman has a 9.1 critical rating.
Wow! It has, feminism!
The lowest mark... It has the most reviews, too. It has 24 reviews. The lowest review is a 7.8 out of 10. It's got, like, 6 10 out of 10s. Yeah. Also, Future State Dark Detective has a bunch of 10 out of 10s as well. And the lowest
people just 7. People just want to be nice to Joelle Jones, I think, is the thing that's going on there. Because, like, the rest of these books have, like, lower rating, like, cumulative ratings than I would expect. But it kind of makes sense when you think about it. It's like, oh, yeah, nobody's heard of these writers before, probably, if you're reading, if you're, like, a DC Comics reader. Yeah. Like, Joelle Jones is probably the only name you recognize. And it's like, yeah, Joelle Jones is good. I have to give her comics high scores.
But if you're, like, a comic reviewer and stuff, like, I don't know. Comic sales aren't great. I don't know what traffic on comic book websites are.
It's not good.
You're probably not going to be like, I hated it. Like, if you're writing about this, you genuinely enjoy all the shit that they peddle. So
that's not true. We did that, and then we got fired.
Yeah, and now look at the state of the website because we rebelled, Chad. Look at it. Look at the orange. Website?
Yeah, thecomicspodcast.com.
Oh, yeah.
At some point, we'll probably post our top 10 comics, personal top 10 comics of 2020.
Yeah.
Mine is almost done. I need to finish it.
I need to write one lore and then it's done.
Other comics came out this week, though. Maybe some that were read by more than just me and Alex.
I know that it wasn't this week, but we didn't really get to talk about Getting It Together number 4. I know that...
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
Chad was the only one that read it. Okay, well, if you haven't read it, then we can just, like, put that on the back burner. But I read that
No, you
today.
Can talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. I thought it was okay, but, like, I didn't really... I felt like it was kind of a lackluster ending, and I don't know. Chad, do you think they'll, like, do anything else with this, or is this just, like one and done?
I don't know. I feel like the point of the ending was almost like Soul, right? Where, like, hey, they learned they can go off and do their own thing, and now they're gonna go do that, and that's, like, the victory they achieved, is that they're gonna start their lives at this point. And I have a feeling it's not going to come back. I could be wrong, but it did say the end, but I guess that could be for the arc. I don't really know.
Yeah, it doesn't... I would kind of like more only because, like, I felt like it was just sort of like, okay. But, I don't really get the feeling that they're going to do anything else. It just seems like that was the thing that happened.
The book kind of, yeah. And the more I've been thinking about it, I haven't read the last issue yet, but it sort of reminds me of, like, the Archies. It sort of feels like it's an Archie group with, like, that have been like, oh, you know, let's make it more mature or whatever. But this feels like, hey, they're on the road, they're a band, one of them's selfish, and it's like, I kind of like that. Like, it kind of has that sort of vibe to it, which I think is why I have enjoyed it. But yeah, I was just so surprised that it ended on issue 5 or 4 or whatever it is, because it was like, oh, you know, I want to know more about these people's lives, and I want them to interact with one another.
It feels like literally just a slice of life. And by that I mean, like, this is just one interval in, like, the lives of all these characters, and it's just going to keep going. There's no, like, story resolution at the end, other than, like, there was, like, a character arc, but, like,
Yeah, it's almost like, I feel like some of the band drama detracts from some of the more, like, just relationship characters hanging out, being friends, and then dealing with their day-to-day problems. Like, the band drama makes it seem like it's going to have more going on as a story with a plot, but to me, the best parts of this comic have been the not that.
Yeah, I felt like maybe there were too many conflicts. Like, they could have, like, pared down some of the stuff going on. Because the fact that some of it was so busy made it feel like there was, you know, going to be more happening at the end.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. Like, ultimately, I liked it. I just, like, kind of, just sort of the end, it just kind of felt like, okay.
Like it's starting to make an impact, and now it's over, and it's like, oh, that was kind of neat, but...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer, though, because, I mean, even not having read the last issue, like, it just, to me, sucks that, A, it's ending here, and that there's not more of it, and B, that it seems like the ending is just sort of, like, a whimper.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bummer. Oh, well. Hopefully there were some things we liked more that came out this week. What else did you read, Alex and Emily? Did you guys get Joker-fied?
I read Ha Ha.
Yeah, did you get Joker-fied?
Yeah, who else?
Do you like this did you like this comic where the first half of it was just the plot of Joker 2019?
I thought it was okay. I didn't hate it.
I love the part, dude. I love the part where he gets shot in the head and he's just fine. That's my favorite part of this book, that he just, like, gets shot in the head and it just goes through, like,
so
this guy
weird.
Is so No, I just love it that, like, what it implies about this guy, which is that his brain is so small and he's so fucking stupid that the bullet just went right through his head and just hit nothing. It's like, I don't think that's actually
no,
what
but that
the book is
like through the frontal lobe into the cerebral. Oh
yeah.
yeah, the old brain shot.
It was just sort of like, okay.
There's so many things that suck and are wrong and dumb about this comic.
Yeah. But I kind of want to know what's going to happen next.
Well, that's the thing, though, is I think these are... So, Ice Cream Man was structured in a way where literally every issue was just, like, a one-shot horror comic with a similar, like, theme.
Yeah, that's the vibe I get from this.
This is going to be the same.
Well, it says it's an anthology. So
yeah, so it's... Oh, yeah, it's well, all, I didn't really it's all clowns.
I just yeah. picked it up because it was a number one. Proving and that people do get though. Number ones. Because
the few issues I read of Ice Cream Man were, like, fine. I don't think any of them were amazing, but I appreciated what it was trying to do mm-hmm. and what, like, kind of horror it was trying to achieve. But there was a supernatural element to it. Whereas this, I don't think, has one. I think it's just, I don't know, this comic was so dumb. Like, even just, like, the beginning, it's like, okay, this is kind of creepy. Maybe he's, like, a sociopath or something. And then and it's, like, 2 pages in, it's like, if his wife hates him and they're really poor, like, what does she do?
It kind of felt like a creepypasta.
Jesus Christ.
I mean,
she's a stay-at-home mom.
Pog.
They have 2 kids.
Yeah, they do.
My parents had 2 kids and didn't need to stay at home.
Well, like, some people choose to stay at home.
Well, clearly it's not much of a choice if they're so poor the lights turned out on page 2.
Well, I mean, like, maybe, like, we don't know anything about their home life.
She seems like an alcoholic. Her facial expressions make her look like she's on the drugs.
It's just bad drawing.
Or is it bad drawing? I don't know. There's so many questions.
I think everyone looks like that.
The end is, it's just so weird because he gets shot in the head and now he only sees people as balloon animals. And like... What?
I kind of like that only because it's, like, stupid. Like,
no, like,
see,
like,
that should have been the start of the comic.
But it's so
there are multiple,
stupid.
Like, individual things in this book that are so fucking dumb. Like, I fucking love the panel so where he sees his other clown friend, who I guess is his neighbor, who hit him over the head with a crowbar at the beginning of the issue, and they're just, like, waving at each other while he goes by in his car.
Look at his face! It's so dirty, and a big nose.
Dude, there is so much about this book that, like, kind of rocks, and yet it is not, like, good. But there's just shit like that I'm like, God, this is kind of poggers, can't lie.
Yeah.
Why are there so many clowns at this place? Like, you'd think they would have maybe 2, and there's, like, 80. It's like, no wonder you fuckers are going out of business.
I also gotta say, I do like the wife. Like, regardless of, you know, everything else. I really enjoy just how detached she is from everything.
Yeah. Why did she fuck him twice? And
why?
were happier then.
Many marriages start off happy and then end up.
But he was probably always
like this
stupid.
Like, yeah, he has a gun to his head and he's making jokes and being like, he's like, shut up, motherfucker. And he's
dude,
like, I'd prefer not to.
It is extremely possible for, like, an average dude to get away with, like, not being very smart or capable for, like, a pretty long time. Like,
also, I think the thing that's going on here with this character, like, the clown, is that, like, there's part of him that is, like, kind of, not irresistible, but, like, he has this really relentless optimism.
Goodness,
like,
me, there's a bullet in my head.
And but I feel like he has this, like, really genuine optimism, possibly because he's a fucking idiot, because his brain is so empty, he is just so happy and optimistic all the time. But, like, that is, I don't know, there's something that, like, I could see being, like, attractive about that until you get to the stage where you are just, like, so broken by, like, living in a ruthless capitalist society that, like the thing that she may have seen in him once is just, like, now she just fucking hates him and resents him for it. And I don't blame her because I hate people like that too. but I can see, like, why that would have been potentially, you know, attractive at one point. Cause he seems like he's, like, a nice guy. Like,
well, yeah, he got mugged by his neighbor and didn't, like, call the cops.
Yeah, which, you know, good for him, because if the cops went into a poor neighborhood like that, that clown would have gotten fucking bopped in front of his daughter on the lawn. So, like, you know, there's, like...
Hey, talk shit, get hit.
His name would then be Boppo. It'd be great. Boppo the clown. Pow, pow.
So, like, that stuff is kind of, I don't know, like, there's, like, some of that stuff that's, like, I don't know. I don't want to say it's good or I'm into it, because neither of those things are necessarily true.
It's kind
of
like watching a bad movie.
Yeah, it's kind of like watching Joker 2019.
I had more strong reactions to this book than I had any of the 14 DC Superstate things I read. So,
and I mean, I just like that he gets shot in the head and then stands up two pages later. I just... And then I think he gets shot again, but I'm not sure. So...
I like the artwork. It's mostly ugly, but I feel like it's on purpose. Like, it has
it works.
I wish...
It's got a certain style.
It's one of those things where there's so many parts of this comic that I want to like, and I don't. I just don't. And I will not be reading the next one.
Well, I'm going to be reading the next one. I want to know what's going to happen with this lady clown.
Well, you can let me know if it's any good.
I will.
Or if it's not amusingly bad.
I will.
But probably amusingly bad, yeah. I mean, this guy's found his niche. He writes weird shit that keeps you like, hey, it's like a good cliffhanger because the whole book is so stupid where you're like, well, what's the next one going to be, right? Like, what's the thing?
Well, I can't lie. The clown lady in the teaser for the next issue is kind of hot, so I got to read it.
Jean-Luc has to buy like six. He has to buy the variant cover. All right. Damn. Did you guys catch up on Department of Truth? Or I guess we could talk about that next time the new issue comes out.
Well, I did.
Yeah, I'm caught up on that.
I forgot what happened in the last issue because it's been like a week or two.
Dad, do you remember?
I think he kills somebody.
Alex, do you remember?
No.
Oh, well, next week.
What was the point about talking? For
I don't know, because I remembered that I read it, and then I remembered that, like,
top 10 comics of 2020. What hey, happened? I don't remember.
I know what happens in the first three issues, okay?
Yeah.
Wait, did I read the fourth issue? I guess is maybe my question now.
For what it's worth, I haven't read it, so I have an excuse for not knowing.
Sean, what did
happens.
You think of the fourth issue, Department of Truth?
I don't know. I assume it's good, but I
okay,
haven't
you
read
hear
it yet.
You hear that here, folks. The fourth issue, Department of Truth, was good.
What about Homesick Pilots?
Yo, this book whips. I like this book a lot.
Yeah.
I like the first issue. There's definitely a part of me that like wishes this book didn't feel the need to do like the whole supernatural thing. Because when they do the flashback scene at the beginning, like, I just really like the relationship between these three characters, like the three main characters who are in the band together. Mm. But this issue sold me even more so than the last one on that supernatural stuff. And if it's going to be sort of like, kind of like a monster of the week with that sort of stuff in the background, if the ideas are this good, like this one with the woman who got a horseshoe and now is like, just luck is so lucky that everything just goes perfectly and she fucking hates it and wants to die. I love that conceptually, and I think this book pulls it off really, really well. It's like simultaneously very entertaining and also like, huh, yeah, I guess that would kind of suck.
Yeah, but, I read this right after reading Ha Ha, and I was like, boy, we are just morbid this week, aren't we? Because of, like, the shooting
it's not
in the
a very
brain,
happy
book. And then the lady jumping off the building.
Yeah, she finally gets released from the blessing slash curse. And she's like, yeah, fuck it, dude. I'm just killing myself now so it doesn't come back. It rocks. We love to see it, folks.
Yeah, this book owns. And I just, again, like I said it last time, but, like, the colors in this book are just so fucking good.
It's a good Scooby-Doo, that's for sure.
It's got a really good vibe to it, and I like the main character a lot. I feel like she rolls with the punches really well, which is nice, because it makes her redeemable, but it also makes it easier to just kind of like go along with the ride on all the supernatural stuff, and it's like, I guess this is the life now, we'll see where it takes us. And then obviously it sprinkles in some of the horror elements, which I really like the horseshoe ghost at the end, he's just fucking creepy.
I love that design.
Unsettling motherfucker, and I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now the vibes are immaculate. We love the vibes.
Good vibes. Good vibes.
Well, they're bad vibes, but we still love them.
They're still vibes, though. Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah, it's good bad vibes. We love to see it, folks.
Yay.
What's left? What else?
Big Girls number 6 came out this week.
It did.
Finished off the old arc.
Big Girls.
And ended it pretty okay.
Yeah.
I thought. Yeah. I thought that, like, I mean, we talked about this, of course, on the last episode. But I felt like it actually sort of redeemed itself after the previous issue, where it felt like, oh, okay, they're actually still going in the direction that they, you know, were before.
Yeah, it just took a weird detour.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, part of this is like, part of this is still like imperfect to me, because it's like, yeah, we're gonna replace the head of the security state with a girl.
Feminism. You know,
in the classic more woman security, like security guards,
more women FBI agents.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely has that kind of vibe to me, but for the most part, I think it ended okay. And I like the setup of her just going out on her own. And I really liked the last two pages, where they have them sort of like setting up the you know, this place for all the big kids to play. And, you know, yeah, it's cute and it's nice. And it's like, yeah, good for you guys. You're slowly fixing your shit. I thought this issue was pretty solid. Like, it, like, sort of continues the, yeah, this book's good.
It was so anime having the giant naked men fight and destroy the city.
So funny.
Yeah.
I liked the cover having Ember dead and she doesn't die in the comic.
Oh yeah, they mentioned that in the outro little thing. He's like, I get it. I did a fake. I saw a G.I. Joe comic do it and I was like, damn. I want to do that too.
I just love that explanation of like, I read a G.I. Joe comic when I was like 12, and my greatest desire in life was to do the same thing.
I think that was my favorite part of the whole book.
More power to you, man.
And I like the book, but just that afterword or that thing where he's like, yeah, good old G.I. Joe comics lying to me so I can lie to you guys.
Isn't that what any person wants, is to just like recreate something that was formative in their childhood?
Yeah, of course.
That's a pretty non-destructive thing to you know, do.
That's why I want to write Star Wars novels.
Have you been reading any new Star Wars novels, John?
You know it, baby.
Wow.
But when are you going to write a Star Wars novel, John?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, that isn't porn that we can read on the show.
Probably not.
Or if
when
it
we
is
did that,
porn.
That was a good time.
That was fun.
Not for me. I think that's all the comics, right?
I think so. I got caught up on Sea of Sorrow.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And then Lost Soldiers. I finished that as well today.
Yeah, what do you think of the end of Lost Soldiers?
I quite like that. I actually...
Yeah,
I think
too.
It kind of redeemed itself a bit as well. It just like...
I regret not reading it before the episode.
Yeah, me too. I feel like it really kind of doubled back on the things I really liked about the first episode, or the first issue, and just like, there's some really good character moments, and the artwork was fantastic. Is like the two stories at the end were blending together, and it's like they were almost.
Dude, I love that element of it. It was like just so well executed.
And then they were seeing like their past and stuff, and so the artwork got just super confusing. And like it's almost like they were talking to each other instead of like who they were talking to. And there's just a lot of really good moments there. And it's like, yeah, Alice Cott, when he writes well, he fucking writes really, really well.
Yeah, he's really, really talented. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like the ending a lot, so very happy with that book.
And then CSRO is just still kind of a fun horror comic that involves deep sea stuff. I continue to love the artwork. I think it doesn't need the supernatural element. It would still be kind of a fun story if it's just like, okay, we're out here trying to dig up gold from this sunken ship, but we can't really do it because we might die because of sharks and gravity.
I feel like
at the same time
on that, but
I like the I really like the mermaid. I think the design is cool and it's creepy and it just adds one more element. And I'm also kind of curious because it sounds like the lady in here is a lesbian, and it'll be interesting if the mermaid like calls her into the water.
Let's go, baby. That's
hell
representation.
Yeah.
Do it.
Because I've never seen that happen before in fiction, and I'm just like, yeah.
Yes.
What if she falls for the mermaid siren?
Yes.
Yeah.
I support this.
Do it.
Do it. Let's do go. It.
So this is fun. I'm excited to continue this one.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, I should read the issues of that I missed, because I did like the first issue, and hearing that it's still good If you want to trickle back and get to those.
Yeah, I've got cool. No more excuses for the rest of the year to say, like, oh, I didn't have time to read a comic because I read 14 issues of Future Slate in an hour. Yeah. So, like, I mean, you know, if I can get through that.
Dude, you did that how did you do that in an hour, dude? I had to read, like, I was, like, reading one a day, and it ended up being, like, too slow. But I was, like, reading one a day, and I would finish one and be like, I can't do another one of these until tomorrow.
By the time I reached the eight mark, I was like, okay, I can't do this. And then I looked at the Flash one, read the line where he says, I wasn't fast enough. And I was like, oh, yay, I can skip this.
In you know, classic DC fashion, the Flash one is by far the worst.
It's not even like okay, the general idea is the Flash guys have lost their Flash powers and they have to like get like weapons from all their villains, but it's incomprehensible what happens in between. And then like Bart Allen just like dies, and then one of them's like, I wasn't fast enough, and it's like, yeah, okay, dude, you could have just, you know, run. But
it also just rocks when they take like what could very easily be like a 4 or 5 issue story and compact it all into one issue.
Well, the flashes work really fast. Cool, if you think about it, it's just smart.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So it's a meta commentary. Yeah. You got me.
Yep.
Yeah. It is atrocious. The pacing is fucking terrible.
I'm excited to read that first issue when it comes out in a month. So,
no, you're not.
I don't know, but I have vowed not to read 14 in a day. So we'll see how that goes. Dad, are you still watching Community for the first time?
Yes.
Oh, how's that going?
That show is fucking great. At least the first season has been so fun.
Nice.
The last episode we watched, I think, was like the sailing episode where half of them took sailing classes and
yes,
in the park.
I love how goddamn absurd that show is. It is just give a fuck, and it's so perfect. And there are times like we'll be laughing so goddamn loud, the four of us, that it's like miss like 3 or 4 lines of dialogue, and I cannot believe just how. There's so many jokes per episode, and so many of them land.
I've seen Community all the way through, like, probably 3 times. Not technically all the way through, because a couple of those times it hadn't finished yet, but, like, I've seen all of Community multiple times, and it's so good.
Yeah, nice.
It has a weird production thing where, like, you know, first
yeah.
3 seasons was Dan Harmon, then he got fired for season 4, came back for season 5, show was canceled, but then Yahoo Screen saved it for season 6. But overall, it's a fantastic show.
And it's definitely got ups and downs.
Ensemble cast.
With that many seasons, I would kind of expect it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Season 4 is my least favorite. It's just like, it feels like they lose the heart and just kind of get mean. But
yeah,
all the other ones I can highly recommend.
I don't recommend skipping it, but like it is just sort of worth knowing that it gets less good a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that from a couple of people, but none of them seem to agree on which season it starts doing that.
Yeah.
It's like 4 and kind of 5 and
sure.
I don't know. 6 is a contentious season because it's like the last season, but I like it because I like. I like. Oh, what's her name?
That lady. It's an absurd, wonderful show in a community college, and yeah.
I'm excited for the paintball episodes.
Oh yeah, those are so good.
Yeah, those were the first two that my friend who like watched it before me was like, he showed me the first 2 paintball episodes, and then I was hooked.
Yeah, what? It's so good.
Any other comics? Anything else?
Paget Brewster, that's her name, the lady that I like that's in season 6 of Community.
Cool. Well, in that case, then I think we can go ahead and wrap it up. Oh my god, my brain emptied itself for a second. Yeah, so we will be back, of course, next week with a new episode of the Comics Podcast. In the meantime, you can follow at Comics Podcast on Twitter, and you can find us on Facebook, that kind of thing. Engage with the socials. You can follow me. I'm at Mountain Dew Liker on Twitter. It's MT Dew Liker, spelled the way you would expect. Maybe next week I'll report on the new Mountain Dew flavor that was released. Alex is at Alex Hanziak on Twitter. You can read some of his writing at cgmagonline.com, as well as the other podcast he does, CGM Flashbacks. And you can, you know, support the work that he does full-time by following like Roller Coaster Tycoon accounts and shit, where he does like their socials and all that kind of cool stuff. You can also find Emily. She's at mpandanata, spelled the however you would, you know.
Search your heart and listen to what it says. That's how you
Combine the word empanada with panda, and you'll figure out how to spell it eventually.
Pandanata.
Yes.
And you can listen to her other podcasts. There's Imagine Me and Yuri Kuma. There's the Fresh Podcast Market, and there's also a podcast she produces called Big Steppy.
Yeah.
If you follow her on Twitter, she's trying to convince people to do a Warrior Cats podcast.
I said that a Warrior Cats podcast, I will become insufferable. And you don't, if you think this is bad, you don't want that to happen.
You should do
it. I don't need to do this.
You should do it. You should do like a solo podcast where you just do a Warrior Cats lore podcast.
Nobody wants that.
Books just shouldn't use the word suddenly that much.
Shut up.
It's true, though.
This is perfect. You guys can be on the show, and Emily would be like, I love Warrior Cats, and Chad would be like, they shouldn't use the word suddenly.
Well, Ben. Chad only read like one chapter and a prologue.
Okay, but when I noticed that there was a prologue, I was like, shit, that's a red flag, because prologues are usually bad.
But actually, it's a good setup for a podcast where Emily knows all the lore, and she's explaining the lore to you, who knows nothing about the lore, and getting your reactions.
Oh, that's fun.
And that way, you can do the fun stuff where you, like, find out the undoubtedly stupid shit that happens in Warrior Cats without having to, like, read it and say stuff like they use the word suddenly too much.
Yeah, Chad, I can tell you all about how Tiger Claw just wants to make ThunderClan great again, and
yikes.
Oh, I hated their names too.
Oh, well, you're just gonna have to get used to that, buddy.
I like the one was Rusty, and I was like, yeah, because you're a normal cat.
No, that's
good for you, buddy.
That's a kitty pet name, Chad. Gosh.
Yeah, it is great. It's not stupid and doesn't have like multiple capital letters in it.
Well, his name is Firestar
Rustislav.
Now, so...
Oh, I hate that.
Well, it was Firepaw, but then when he became a warrior, it was Fireheart, and then when he becomes leader of ThunderClan, spoiler alert, he becomes Firestar.
See, this is the kind of content you could be getting an hour of every week.
Please end this, please.
I drink enough, okay? I don't need an excuse to do more, but I would definitely need to be drunk if we did this.
Oh, 100%.
If we get bored and want to do, like, a spinoff episode for the comics podcast, like them fools have done with Star Wars or Legos or whatever.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Riverdale.
This would be the second time we've talked about cats.
Yeah, I forgot about
cats
that one.
Too. It's perfect.
Every once in a while, YouTube's like, you should watch this video, and it's titled, like, why the music in Cats is worse than you think. And it's like, fuck off.
Fuck off. It's better than I think.
Oh,
it's better than
I
think.
I've been meaning to watch that
better
YouTube
than John
video,
thinks.
Actually.
I refuse. I have enough negativity in my life.
Yeah.
We'll be back to bring more of it next week on the Comics Podcast.
Hell yeah,
this
brother.
Is
but
true.
In the meantime, you too can get some more negativity in your life by following @AnonymBand on Twitter and listening to Follow the Witch on Bandcamp at anonym.bandcamp.com and buying Chad's books on Amazon, which are called Dreamscape and the Ninth Life.
Yay!
The Ninth Life is
those
also
won't actually
about cats.
Bring.
I write a lot about cats.
You guys could do a Warrior Cats podcast where you talk about Warrior Cats, and then Chad talks about his book and be like, "Well, here's what I would have done."
Well, that's the thing is, I remember Emily's like, "I need to read more books about cats," and it's like, "You literally own mine."
I didn't say that.
You said something similar.
I probably said something similar, but I would never imply that I need to read a book that I bought.
Good night.
I don't buy things to use them.
I buy them. All right,
thank you everybody for listening.
Bye, John Luke.
Bye, John.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Going to literally go downstairs and scream into the void.
You can't buy me. I'm not for sale. Oh.